Welcome to the Weight Loss Podcast, where we offer solutions to the obstacles you face when it comes to achieving your health and fitness goals. As a married couple who has lost a combined weight of 100 kilograms and 11 clothes sizes, our raw, real, and relatable stories will show you the path you must walk to achieve, and more importantly, maintain the results you know you can reach. Because we know it works. So get ready to share the success and show the results with your hosts, Matt and Courtney.
Welcome back to the Weight Loss Podcast, Season 12. We're very excited to have you here for this awesome, very special episode all about Matt.
Depends on how you define special.
Very excited. So we did Courtney's top 10 tips last week, and this week is dedicated to Matt's top 10 tips.
Yeah, probably the top 10 things I've learned. Mm-hmm. Over a very long time now, and see if I can provide some value and allow someone else to maybe learn from my fuck ups.
That's literally that should be our tagline for our podcast.
We fucked up so you don't have to.
Please learn from our fuck ups.
Yeah.
So
let's jump in. There's a bit to go through here.
There's a bit to go through. Matt has written notes, which is awesome. So do you want me to read out the first one?
You're the host, buddy. Take it away.
I'll read out the first one for you. So number one, why are you doing this?
With that question, the number one tip that I've learned is exactly why are you doing this? Because no one wants to sign up for a gym program as a goal. No one wants to pay for a nutrition program as a goal. If you do, well, I question your motives. Things like exercise, nutrition programs, coaching programs, whatever, the gym, they're all a tool. Like, you don't buy a tool just to own it. You buy a tool to do something with it.
Yeah.
So in this case, the actual motive for doing something has to be, well, why are you doing it? Why is it important to you? What will it help? Or how will it help improve your life right now? And what will it give you that you don't currently have? Because the thing is, as you know, wifey, this whole thing is a giant departure from your comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
No one wants to leave their comfort zone for shits and giggles.
No.
So you think, for me at least, going to the gym at the start was terrifying because I didn't know what I was doing. You feel like literally a fish out of water, or in my case, a whale out of water. And you have to have reasons why you do what you do.
So you're saying that you have to, nobody sets the goal of actually getting there. So the getting there part is never anyone's goal.
Anywhere.
The getting to a result, to your ultimate goal.
Oh, well, the goal is the goal, whatever it might be, but you have to have a reason to do the things you need to do to get there. Mm. So there's a certain goal I want to achieve. If I want to achieve goal X, I have to do procedure or process Y to make that happen.
Mm.
Now, not all parts of that process may be enjoyable. There's plenty of people that don't enjoy exercise. There's some days I couldn't be stuffed doing it either. There's plenty of people that don't get satisfaction from being in the kitchen cooking food.
Mm.
No sane person enjoys recording a food diary.
No.
For example, so it's like, well, why would you push yourself to do these things you may not necessarily like? Why is because the outcome you're working towards is reason enough for you to do those things.
Mm.
And that's why that's my number one tip with this, because the whole thing starts with your reason for change. Otherwise, why do you do anything in life?
Mm.
You have to have a reason to do it.
Once somebody realizes what their reason is what should they do with that information? Is it literally just as simple as, oh, I have a reason to change, now I'll change?
Three words: act on it. Take action.
Yeah.
Like, don't just sit there like, oh, okay, yeah, this is important to me and this is what I want to do, and now I'll start tomorrow. No, start now.
Mm.
Act on it immediately.
And I would take a step further or two and say, also remember that reason.
You are going to need to be reminded of why you are doing what you're doing a gazillion times along the way. Every time you have a bad day or an argument with a partner or a shit day at work or a shit day with the kids or whatever it might be, your reason for change is going to be questioned. Mm-hmm. And the universe will ask you, hey, big boy or big girl, how much do you really want this?
Mm.
So that's when you're going to find out how much your reason for change really matters. But the whole thing, the whole anchor point for this is about why you're doing it. Because there's a difference between, oh, yeah, it'd be cool to be in shape. It'd be cool, you know, it'd be kind of cool to have big biceps or whatever it might be. There's a difference between that and fucking, I can't stand being the way I am. I will do whatever it takes to not be this way anymore. And there's a mentality where, and you know it if you've gone through it or if you're there now, where you are prepared to run through a brick wall to get what you want or to not be the way you are anymore.
Mm.
And that's very different to, oh, yeah, it'd be nice to be a little bit lighter or a little bit leaner. It's a different mentality altogether. But you have to start with why you're doing this. The why is the anchor point. Yeah. Everything comes off of that. So that is my number one tip, is get clarity on why you want to do this, why it is important to you, what your values are, and take action on it.
Nice. All right, let's move on to number two on your list. Review your support network.
Yeah. Big time. Be it work, home, or a professional support network, if you've got like a trainer or a coach, whatever it might be, an accountability buddy, I don't give a fuck. Whatever it is, whoever it is, if you get that part wrong, it makes what's already incredibly difficult near impossible.
Mm.
So I'm not going to sit here and try and act all macho and say, oh, I've done all this by myself. No, I've had help all along the way.
Yeah.
In various forms, be it professional help, by far, you're my biggest cheerleader with this, with everything, actually, with life in general. And it makes such a profound difference to have even a small number of people in your corner where you know they've got your back. And it's not in the way where they'll just say, oh, yes, everything you do is a good idea, but they're prepared to challenge you sometimes because...
Hold you accountable sometimes.
Hold you accountable because to me, support, part of support is to encourage, to support, to gently nudge in the right direction, but support can also be, hey, think about that. Take time to think about that. Is that the right decision?
Mm.
Or have you considered this? Have you thought about that?
Mm.
Because none of us know everything.
Yeah.
Having people around us in some capacity is even the word vital is selling it short.
Mm.
So especially if you're in a relationship, in my opinion, your partner must know why this is important to you so that you can then take it upon yourself to coach them on how they can best support you. Because I've spoken to a lot of people over a long time now where their partners don't know how much the way things are impacting them. And my first thought is, well, if I know more about your current situation than your husband or your wife or your fiance or your boyfriend, whatever it might be, if I know more than they do, something is wrong.
Hmm.
Because how can someone properly help you if they don't know what the problem is or why you're doing it? And sometimes there can be fear of judgment. Like if I tell my partner, they'll think I'm silly. They'll think, oh, it's another harebrained scheme. Oh, they want to lose weight again. Hey, there's no harm with multiple attempts to do this.
Yeah.
But let your support network know why you're doing it and why it's important to you and how they can best support you. You try and take it all on yourself, I just don't see it as a way to move forward. It's shit.
It's shit.
It's shit.
Makes sense. Love that one. All right, number three. Don't try too hard. Now, what do you mean by don't try too hard?
Don't try too hard. And by that, I mean don't attempt to change everything at once.
Yeah, okay.
So it's normal for human beings to make a decision. I want to do this. I want to achieve whatever it might be. Fantastic. Well done. Let's go. But then you take it upon yourself to think, well, now I've got to fix all these different things all at the same time to make this work. Actually, you don't. So my advice is always, well, you may have 100 things you think you need to fix to get this done. You may only need to change 50.
Yep.
You should just start with one or two or three things at once.
Yep.
So rather than looking at it as like it's this giant list of things I need to do all at once, break it down into small incremental steps. And the phrase I like to use is pick the lowest hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. What are the one, two, or three things that you feel most ready to work on right now? Yep. Start there. And that's going to be different from person to person to person. Well, there's generally speaking, and I do use that term loosely, generally speaking, for most people, exercise tends to be the easiest place to start. Well, so start there.
Hmm.
You need to, okay, my nutrition's not perfect, so got to start somewhere. Start where it's easiest. For some people, they really take well to being in the kitchen cooking just bucket loads of food. Start there.
Yeah.
Change your environment at home. Improve the environment at home. Just pick a few things that feel doable right now or work onable right now.
Yep.
And just start there. Then once they feel like, okay, I have routines, I'm confident, I'm consistent, I feel like I'm in control, then go for the next one, two, or three things. If you approach it like that, we're just working on one, two, or three things at a time. In the moment, it doesn't seem like much, but over the course of 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, that's when you eventually end up realizing, I've completely turned this ship around.
Mm.
But it's got to start with just small things, small little habits that gradually build on top of the other. I look at it like putting deposits into the bank. But they're just small deposits, one little bit at a time. It doesn't seem like much until you look back on it years later and you've put in a lot of deposits and they've all added up.
Yes.
Start small.
Love that one. All right. Number four, play the long game.
Yeah. I'm sure this is one you can relate to as well. Definitely.
Yeah. I think I might have had one similar in my 10 tips last week.
Well, the thing is, if short-term quick fixes worked, well, for starters, you, looking at the camera, wouldn't be listening to us here because you'd be living your best life kicking ass.
Yes.
So we can probably agree that they don't work, and if they did, well, they would have by now.
Mm.
When I say play the long game, I'm talking about you don't want this to take longer than it has to.
Yeah.
But you still need to do things in a way that is sustainable to turn this into a lifestyle.
Mm.
And the question to ask is real simple. Can I do what I'm doing here for the rest of my life? If the answer is no, where are we going with this? Yeah. The clock's ticking on how long until this thing sort of blows up. If the answer is yes, I can keep doing this for the rest of my life, then you're on a pretty good track and you can start to improve things on that track.
Mm.
I think what's helped me over the years is just to realize there is no finish line with this. It's not like, oh, I'll lose weight, I'll get in shape, I'll get strong, I'll get muscles, I'll do this or that, and then I'll live happily ever after. It doesn't work that way.
No.
You are still going to have problems in your life. It's just that you'll, in this particular field of health and fitness and whatnot, your problems will be improved. But you've got to then think about, well, what do I do when I get to my goal?
Mm.
What do I do to stay there or to improve upon it, whatever it might be? I would encourage people to extend the timeline.
Yeah.
Rather than, yes, you do want to break things down into shorter periods of time, but don't put a finish line on things, I guess is what I'm getting at here. Because as you've discovered too, Courtney, there is no finish line.
No.
This seems to me like it works in chapters, like a book.
Yeah.
You go through one chapter, then you go to the next one, the next one, the next one, and they're all a little bit different to the ones previously.
Mm.
you know. But as I've learned now, doing this for a very long time, the book never ends.
Yeah. No.
So I would advise play the long game, as painful as it is and as frustrating as it is, because it's, you know, we live in an instant gratification world. We all want what we want now.
Yes.
Working on yourself, working on your health, working on your mind and your body and your emotional control and whatnot, it is the ultimate form of delayed gratification.
Mm.
You put in a lot of effort for seemingly little return.
Yes.
Especially at the start, but you have to hang in there long enough until the returns start to add up on top of each other. And honestly, before you know it, you realize, like, fuck, I've literally changed my life here. So play the long game. Think big picture. Don't put a finish line on it. Don't look at this as if there is a point you get to where you live happily ever after. No, because all that will happen is, great phrase I've been taught, when you get to the top of the current mountain, you are at the bottom of the next one.
You do love a phrase.
Big fan. Big fan.
All right, number five, your expectations will set you up for success or failure from the start.
Yeah, so this is one where people can fuck themselves over before they even begin. When they, and I'm actually not going to blame individuals for this. I think a lot of times we can have unrealistic expectations based on what we're being sold in the marketplace.
Yes.
So there's plenty of people or programs or whatnot out there that will promise you the world in a short period of time, knowing is probably not true.
Yes.
So I like to look at it as the longer you've had, be it bad habits, a poor mindset, poor health, the longer you've had these things, the longer it will take to undo them.
Mm.
Now, I'll use a phrase that I'm a big fan of. I do like phrases.
You like a phrase.
One I'm a big fan of is this whole process is about unfucking yourself.
Yeah.
The longer you've been fucked, the longer it takes to unfuck.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes you can be promised or think to yourself, well, okay, just 12 short weeks and a lifetime of battle is finished. Like, fucking no chance. None.
Yeah.
You know, so I found that you've got to learn to begin with how to get where you want to go. Then it becomes a test of how do I learn how to stay here? Because from what I've learned over time as well, maybe a bonus one here, is that keeping a result is infinitely harder than getting it.
Yeah, okay.
Like human beings, we are great at losing weight and we're shit at keeping it off.
Mm.
Absolutely terrible. And it's not because, you know, people aren't good enough or whatever it might be. We're all good enough. We're all smart and talented enough. It's just that it's a different lessons to be learned. It's like a different curriculum, learning how to keep a great result. I can tell you from experience, it's fucking hard.
Yeah.
Because the timeline expands out. Mm. Like you can change your body, transform your body in 12 months, 2 years and be completely unrecognizable. But then when the timeline expands from 12 months to 2 years to 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's way harder because you got to keep doing what you've done to get there.
Yep.
So coming into this with, I would say, grounded, realistic expectations, usually along the lines of, well, I've been this way for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, my entire life. The longer that time frame, the longer it's going to take you to undo this. And not from a physical standpoint, but in terms of unlearning mindset, mental thoughts, emotional thoughts, habits.
I was going to say physical and emotional habits, probably.
Well, I think if you took away the emotion around all this, I would say, and people just making decisions based on logic and being told what to do, you can completely transform your body in 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
The reason the timeline goes longer than that for most people is because you have to help them unpack and improve the emotional side of things.
Mm.
That's the hard part. The physical side of it, if it was just that, like comparatively, improving your body compared to improving your mind and your emotions, it's a walk in the park.
I agree.
The hard stuff.
I definitely agree with that.
And that's me talking, you know, generally you would use a stereotype of a male. Oh, well, males don't have the same issues that the girls do. No, we do.
Yeah.
We definitely do. We still have, you know, we have inferiority complexes, fears, doubts, anxieties. Like, that's a human emotions, you know. So the physical aspect, if it was just the physical, people can completely transform in 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
But the timeline goes out because you have to work on what's beneath the surface.
Yes.
You know, the surface level stuff, it's the hard stuff's what goes on deep inside that keeps you where you've been for so long.
Yeah.
So please manage your expectations accordingly. I would say to someone, if they are relatively realistic or reasonable with their expectations, this will happen slower than you'd like, but faster than you think. Because once you start to focus on just what you're doing day in, day out, and turning good days into good weeks, into good months, you start to look back and be like, I have come a long way here now, haven't I?
Yeah.
You know, but if you come into it thinking to yourself, oh, well, so-and-so said to me, I'll change my life in 12 weeks, even though I've been this way since I was a young child, like, they're lying to you.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Setting up for failure.
Yeah. I think expectations are the biggest determining factor of if someone is ready to succeed or fail from the start.
Yeah.
If they're unrealistic and or they're just not grounded in reality, taking into account where a person's been for a long time, like, you're pushing shit uphill.
Yeah, I agree.
I would expect it to take longer than you'd like and be harder than you expect.
It's a good way to put it. Drink?
Yeah, thanks.
All right, drink break quick. All right, excellent. We are five down, five to go. All right,
drink. Right, time management.
Drink break done. Number six.
Yeah. So to me, one of the weakest excuses is, oh, well, I'm busy. Like, fucking, we're all busy. Get over yourself. If you're not busy, what are you doing in life? Like, are you an adult?
Yes, it's very.
Like, everyone's fucking busy. Like,
very busy.
Calm yourself.
Yes.
You know, so time management and being busy just comes down to priorities.
Yep.
So to me, if someone says to me, oh, well, what's your advice to someone who wants to learn how to meal prep, but they have a busy schedule? Well, manage your schedule better.
I think it also comes down to, like, what you're trying to manage, right? Because in that particular scenario, there's different things that you can cook and, like, try out different methods of cooking, which can save time, you know, can involve slow cookers and things like that, where you don't have to be home to cook it. So I do agree with you. I think it also, that one comes down to, a lot of the time, it's priorities, but it's also, like, thinking outside the box to try to problem solve, not just using time management as a simple excuse not to do it.
Thinking outside the box gets easier when you sit with a problem long enough. So I agree with what you're saying there, but you have to start somewhere. You have to suck at something long enough to get good at it.
Yes.
So for me, when I first started learning, like, teaching myself how to cook for myself and, you know, being an adult basically, like, I had no idea about things like slow cookers or, you know, bulk cookups on barbecues or things like that. I just started with just learning how to make one good meal at a time.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at with this particular lesson that I've learned is that every single person has 24 hours in a day.
Yes.
So whether you've got your career or studies, kids, family, you're caring for people, whatever it might be, we've all got the same time each day. What are we saying yes to and what are we saying no to? One thing I have picked up on is that generally if we perceive that we don't have the time for exercise or food prep or whatever it might be, that just means you're probably saying yes to enough things that are taking away from your ability to say yes to yourself.
Yeah.
And I was taught a long time ago that what you say no to is probably more important than what you say yes to.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when it comes to time and priorities and time management, it's about making decisions. Mm-hmm. What's important to me and what is a non-negotiable and what is something that I would like to be able to do that just doesn't quite fit in because these more important things take precedent. not everything can be a non-negotiable.
It's almost like a tiered system.
Well, it has to be. If everything's a non-negotiable, then...
Yeah, that's when you really will have time for nothing.
We probably, you're probably lying to yourself.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, life's about decisions.
Yes.
And I do recall the word decision derives from Latin as the definition is to cut off. Making a decision means cutting off other things at the expense of this thing. I believe the word is decidere. I'm open to being corrected.
You're posing that to me like a question.
I'm looking at the camera. I'm open to being corrected.
I was going to say, because there is no way I would know this.
No. I'm not coming to you for Latin lessons. I'm not coming to me for Latin lessons either, for that matter. But I do believe it is derived from the word decidere, but it means to cut off. So if we're making decisions and priorities in life, it's not just that we're choosing this one thing or these things over here. We're also, by then extension, saying no to all these things over there.
Yes.
Okay, an easy example is let's look at career path.
I think you're right.
Okay.
I just Googled it.
What do you got? Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. But you look at career path, right?
Yes.
You choose a career path, which means you are then closing the door on other potential careers. Because you can't have, we're going to have five different careers at once?
Yes.
So we're choosing a career path at the expense of others.
Yes.
You know, or it could be with relationship. You get married, you're choosing one person and then saying no to all the others.
Yes.
Picking a football team. We're picking one football team at the expense of all the others.
Interesting examples you're giving now.
but that's what I'm talking about here when it comes to priorities and time management. It's making decisions about what's important to you, what are non-negotiables, and what are the things that, you know what, that'd be cool,
yeah,
and I would like that, but it's just not at the top of my list.
Yeah.
You know, so yes, I get it that people are busy. But one thing I like to do, and I've always asked this of people in my line of work, a little exercise I like to do, you ask someone, tell me who the most important five people in your life are.
Yeah.
Give me a list of five names. And they rattle their names off, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And they don't name themselves. Mm. If you're not on that list, that's why you're struggling to find time to do things, because you haven't made yourself a non-negotiable. Now, if you ask for me where I'm at now, and this is obviously with the hindsight of many years of experience, ask Matt to make his list of top five favorite people. Like, I can tell you number one and two is you and me.
Yeah.
In which order? It depends on the day. Hey?
What?
Did you say you're one?
No, I agree with you.
I'll tell you what, it's one or the other, but you get what I'm saying though.
Yes.
Like, it starts with you and me, and then it expands from there with, you know, yes, parents, family, et cetera. And it goes outwards from there. But a lot of people, I've noticed, that find themselves struggling with time for themselves is because they're not on their list of non-negotiables. And you have to be to make this work.
That is a great point.
All right.
Great point. All right, number seven, accept that you'll have your down days.
Yes. It's not a smooth ride. You're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
And some days you are going to have to eat a shit sandwich.
Yes. Yes, well said.
I would advise, give yourself the grace to be a human being.
Yeah.
Give yourself the grace and the understanding to make mistakes.
Yes.
I would also encourage people to not be dicks to themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I've learned over time, because I have been my harshest critic for a long time, and I've softened up a lot on myself. Because I've realized, wow, I've accomplished a lot. I should be proud. I should be grateful. And I am these things. But I think treating yourself poorly and treating yourself negatively through negative self-talk, or punishing yourself through exercise, or punishing yourself through restrictive food diets or whatever, that's not congruent with being healthy.
Yeah.
I just don't think treating yourself negatively aligns with working to adopt a healthy lifestyle.
Mm.
So be healthy on the inside or the outside. I've learned that being hard on yourself, overly hard on yourself, doesn't work for that.
Mm.
So if you come from the other end of things of being understanding and giving yourself a bit of grace to make mistakes, to be human, allows you to probably progress faster. And it's not to say that, like, I'm big on asking for more from yourself and having high standards.
Yes.
But part of those high standards should be also that, you know what, I may get things wrong, I will get things wrong, but I'm going to learn from them and they're going to make me better.
Mm.
So some days you're going to absolutely kick ass.
Yes.
Other days you are going to get your ass kicked. It's the pigeon and the statue metaphor. Some days you are the pigeon and some days you are the statue.
100%.
And that is A-okay. Just give yourself that latitude to make enough mistakes to get good, because you have to make enough mistakes to get good with this. The only reason I can talk with this sort of experience is because I've fucked things up over a long enough timeline to get good. So don't be a dick to yourself.
Don't be a dick to yourself. I like that.
Words of wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's move on to number 8, which is recognize all the small wins.
We're both big on this one.
Love this one.
This really deliberately comes off the last point of being a bit more kind to yourself, is to look at the things that you've improved on. No matter how small or insignificant you may think they are, an improvement is an improvement.
Yes, it is.
And it can be as simple as, I've gone from someone who doesn't eat breakfast to I now regularly have a breakfast.
Mm.
High five, well done, that's an improvement.
Yep.
Now go stack another improvement on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be, I'm someone who was mega inconsistent with going to the gym to now I've been consistently going to the gym for the last month.
Yep.
Massive high five. That's another improvement and a small win.
Yeah.
Now turn it from 1 month into 2.
Yeah.
And then 2 into 3, and then start to build this thing out from there.
You still want to push forward and want to achieve more, but not overlooking those little, sometimes I think of them as like stepping stone wins as well. It's like what, you know, some people think that those examples you just mentioned, Matt, I think they're perfect examples, right? Because some people think until you maybe achieve something big in the gym, like you can run an X number of Ks, or you can lift X number of weights, or, you know, that sort of stuff, that you haven't achieved anything. But actually people overlook just the fundamentals of building habits, and building habits are creating wins. So just the habit of getting to the gym consistently, as you say, or just the habit of eating breakfast consistently, that in itself is a win.
Yes. So it can be a little too easy. You know, I've made this mistake a number of times of, you spend so much time looking at where you aren't.
Yes.
It creates this scarcity mindset in your brain of, you focus on what you aren't, or what you don't have, or what you don't achieve, and it then blinds you to what you've done.
Mm.
And it just creates this mentality of, nothing's good enough, or it's like, I'll be happy when.
Yeah.
I'll be happy when I've done this, or when I've achieved this, or when I've lost this amount of weight, or whatever it might be, until you get there and you still feel like, well, no, I've got to now do this, and I'll be happy when I get there. And you never get there, wherever there may be, because it's always the next thing.
No.
What can help to counter that? And to me, It is good to look at what's next and where we're going next, but we have to also balance that with recognizing, well, no, I've improved at this, 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 and this, and I deserve praise for that, because that was hard for me to do.
Mm.
So I'm not one who's big on stopping to smell the roses, but geez, have a whiff on your way through.
Yeah. See, sayings, you love a good saying.
Well, it's true though, you know, because your success isn't defined by just the one big outcome.
Yes.
Because the one big outcome you think you're looking for is actually a collection of small little micro successes that all add up.
Mm.
I can use myself as the example here. If I compare myself now to myself 20 years ago, in the totality, it is literally a different human living a different life in an alternate timeline.
Yeah.
But I could then break that down if we had, I don't know, 5 hours to go through it. I could then break it down into all the small improvements.
Yes.
And the steps back to then take more steps forward that have happened all the way through.
Yes.
It just, on the outside, to someone else, it may look like, wow, that dude's really changed his life. There's been so many small little things that have added up all along the way.
And I would honestly take this one. I think it applies to literally everything we do in life, because I just don't think that we are always our own worst critics.
Mm.
And I feel like we don't often give ourselves the grace to, especially when we're learning a new skill and like going through something like this is learning, you're learning a new skill. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit for the wins that we get along the way.
One thing you do that I think fits well here is you occasionally, when you do your journaling, will write down what you're grateful for.
Yeah, I'll often start with what I'm grateful for, just like three things. I just pick three things. I mean, I'm always going to be grateful for more than three things, but I just pick three things.
To me, that seems like a good stepping stone or a good way to learn this. Would I be correct?
Yeah, I think practicing a little bit of gratitude is definitely a good way to practice this sort of thing. Whenever I do my journaling, I always think of three things to start off with, at least three things that I'm grateful for. And it might be just that day. It might be that week. It might just be the first three things that come to my mind. Mm. I might decide that it's going to be more than three things that day. There's no rules with it. I try to get away from too many rules when it comes to celebrating wins or being grateful for things, because you don't want to put limitations on yourself. But, yeah, I definitely think showing a bit of gratitude for yourself or for something that's happening in your life, I think is a really good way to practice this.
I would say, before we move on, if you notice that you've improved at something, no matter how big or how small, acknowledge it, give yourself a high five, and take it forward with you.
You have to.
And I think it can be a dangerous trap to fall into to tell yourself, oh, that's not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's not worth acknowledging. Bullshit. Any improvement's worth acknowledging, because the big changes that we're looking for are all just those little small ones that add up over time. Any improvement is an improvement.
Any improvement is improvement. I couldn't agree with you more. Even if you make a mistake and you bounce back quicker than you would have before, or you make a mistake and you don't berate yourself as much as you would have before, you don't spiral like you would have before, they're wins. So even in your mistakes or quote-unquote failures, you can be creating wins for yourself. So there's literally wins that you can find everywhere as long as you're open to them and as long as you're not closed off to the fact that you're making progress, and any progress is a win.
I'll give you an example that I think can be very relatable for a hell of a lot of people. Let's say you're someone that has a history of binge eating.
Yes.
So the history that you've got is that you've had a bad day, a negative experience, an argument, whatever it might be, and the habit is to just attack the ice cream, attack the cookies, attack the chips, like whatever it might be, you just go hell for leather. Generally what happens from there is one meal can then be turned into one day, which can then be turned into one weekend, which can then lead to you spiraling and feeling like you're out of control for a week.
Yes.
Now what tends to happen from that is that you feel immense amounts of shame and self-loathing and just like, I'm not good enough, I'll never do this, I'm a failure. If the next time that happens, you get back to normal a little bit faster than the previous time. So rather than spiraling out of control for a week, you're back on track within a few days.
Yes.
Massive high five. Mm. Do better again next time.
Yes.
So then you go from, I spiral for a couple of weeks down to I spiraled for 3 days to I spiraled for 1 day to I spiraled for one meal to I don't spiral anymore.
Yes.
Every step along the way there needs to be acknowledged, because that is that, especially from a binge eating standpoint, for example, that is fucking hard to improve over time.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the mistake of looking at, well, I haven't turned it off yet.
Yes.
You're never going to turn something like that off at once. Are you doing things a little bit better than the last time you did it? If yes, well done. High five from me. Now try and do a little bit better again the next time. Eventually, over enough time, that's how you start to iron your habits out.
Mm.
It's just not one big leap. It's all these small steps. So, yeah, man, recognize the small wins.
Love that. All right, number 9, learn from your mistakes, but stay in the present while moving forward.
Yeah, so this is important to me because you can't change what's happened in the past as much as we would like to.
Yes.
With some things, but you can learn from it.
Yes.
So I would advise, and I practice this myself, use the past as a learning tool, but don't spend too much time there.
Mm.
Take what you've gotten from the past to look at what you're doing in the present to improve the way things are going to go in the future. So there's plenty of things in my life that if I had a DeLorean with a flux capacitor in it.
And if you don't know what that is, please watch the movie before you come back to this podcast.
What movie?
Back to the Future.
Good call. If I had a time machine, I'm sure there's things I can go back and change.
Yes.
You know, but here in reality, that's not going to happen. So all I can do is promise to learn from the past to improve where I am right now to make a better future.
Yes.
So don't get too caught up as much. I've had to learn this over a long period of time.
I'm still learning it.
But please, please work hard on not getting so caught up in the past that it takes away your focus from what you're doing right now.
Yes.
Because what you've done previously, like, it's done. It's written. The ink's dry.
Yeah.
But what's ahead is yet to happen, and we're in control of that. So, I mean, it goes to this sign here on the wall.
Yeah, can you see that? Yeah, you can see that.
Forget the mistake. Remember the lesson.
Yes.
Like, I hung that up for us. That's why this whole point's here, because of that thing there.
Yes.
You know, like you can't go back and change the mistake, but you sure as hell can learn from it.
Yes.
To get better. So I think just use the past to learn while staying where you are right now to improve the future. That's that.
That's that one. That's love that. All right. Let's move on to number 10, which is numbers aren't your problem.
Yes.
What do you mean, Matt, by numbers aren't your problem?
So the things that are holding people back are not related to how much you weigh on the scales.
Yeah.
They're not related to getting a plan with the right amount of calories or teaching you how to count your macros. All your problems are related to your shitty habits and your poor mindset.
Mm.
I would say, for example, if you're the sort of person where you are a binge eater,
yes,
or a binge drinker, where you are good, quote unquote good, from Monday to Thursday, but then routinely, weekly, go off the rails Friday, Saturday, Sunday, like, who gives a shit how much you weigh? Who gives a shit about, oh, I went over my calories or I didn't hit my macros? Like, irrelevant.
Mm.
Irrelevant. You are where you are because of the choices you make consistently. Numbers aren't going to fix that.
No.
Numbers, when it comes to this, numbers are a surface level issue. So here on the surface, if you're not watching on the video, I've got my hands up showing a surface.
A surface.
Here on the surface is my weight, the plan I'm doing, how many calories I've got to hit. What's worked against you for years is well below the surface. It's the way you talk to yourself, the way you treat yourself. It's your habits on a daily basis, a weekly basis, that have added up over the years to get to where you are. For example, the scales, right? I like to think people who are overweight, their weight is not their problem. The shit they've done for long enough to get them to that stage is their problem. Because you can have people, and this happens a lot, where they can lose a pile of weight and they still have the same habits they've been dragging along for years. And they're the ones that always put it all back on.
Yeah.
You have to address the underlying reasons. Why do I do what I do?
Mm.
Why do I make the decisions that I make? Why do I have the habits that I have? You don't get that by just focusing on how much a person weighs or giving them some piece of shit meal plan that says, eat this, drink this, and lose a bunch of weight. Because if you are still carrying the same habits you've had for years, they're just going to keep following you like a shadow.
Mm.
And eventually they catch up.
Yes.
You know? So I prefer to look at what are the biggest elephants in the room.
Mm.
I can actually give an example in our business. So we've had clients, and I learned from this too. We've had clients where they put more effort into, for example, recording and posting videos of their workouts in the gym, except they were so inconsistent, they'd only go to the gym once a month. But when they did, everything was perfect, everything was locked in, they recorded all their videos to show us, but you're only going once a fucking month.
Yeah.
So what's the point of focusing on these little 1% things when you're not working on the big 99%ers that make the real difference?
Yeah.
You know? So I prefer to say to people, well, rather than look at being obsessed about numbers, spend more time learning about your own body.
Mm.
How does my body perform when I get better sleep, when I drink more water? Learning about your body's hunger cues, learning about how to listen to your body when you've got more energy or when you're feeling slow or lethargic or need a break.
Mm.
Learn about what foods work best for your body, because you don't need numbers to know what foods work best for your body. You pay attention over a long enough period of time, document what you're doing, and just internally listen. Mm. And eventually get to the stage where you know what foods do and don't work best for your body. You know what you're capable of. You know when you can push things. You know when you've got to pull back and recover a little bit.
Yep.
These are the things that develop knowledge about yourself that come with you for years and years and years.
Yeah.
So for me, like, do I know how to count calories, for example? Of course I do. It's part of my job. Do I need to? No.
Yeah.
I know when I'm in a deficit.
Yeah.
My body tells me. Yeah, I know my hunger cues.
Yeah.
I know very, very well. You know, I know what foods, and you know this too, Courtney. We know what foods work best for us.
Yes.
What foods give us energy? What foods make us perform better in the gym versus what foods don't sit well?
Yes.
What foods sit heavy? Or for my example,
make us feel puffy.
Make us feel puffy or bloated. Like for me, bread's an easy one. I love bread. Bread don't love me back.
No.
You know, as much
neither
as
neither of our friend.
Yeah. You know, and it's a shame because bread's delicious.
It's delicious.
And I will fully confess, I'm a crust guy.
Yeah, you do like the crust.
The crust is the best part.
The ends of the loaf.
Crust is the best.
No right? one wants the ends of the loaf.
This guy wants the ends of the loaf.
No.
But the thing is, like, bread for me, as much as I would love to be able to have it on the regular, I just can't. Because whenever I have it, as yummy as it is, it just makes me feel like my pants are two sizes smaller.
Mm.
My shirts get tight. I get bread belly. It's no good. But
no.
The point I'm getting at, though, is that I've learned to listen to these cues over the years. So I can now say, and I'm proud to say this, you know, I know how to eat to maximize performance, be it in the gym, at martial arts, to maximize recovery. You know, I know what to avoid. I know through my body's cues when my blood sugar levels are elevated or when they're super low. You know, I know when I've eaten enough, when I've made enough choices that aren't optimal for my body, I know when I've done that.
Yep.
I know when I'm in an energy deficit without having to count calories. So this is where I will say numbers aren't your problem, because they tend to be a smokescreen to take your attention and focus away from learning more about yourself.
Hmm.
And I've just found it very freeing over a long period of time now to eventually become so in tune with myself and my own body that I don't need to get caught in the mental fatigue that comes with obsessing about numbers every day, because it's fucking tiring.
Mm.
Anyone that's you know tried to obsessively log on MyFitnessPal day after day after day after day, and all you think about is your numbers and food and what am I having next? Like it just breaks your fucking brain.
Mm.
The more you're prepared to learn about your body, the less you need to worry about shit like that.
Yep.
So yeah, numbers are not your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of the way we like to do things,
That was number 10. So we've done 10.
Matt's 10 biggest lessons learned.
But Matt.
He's number 11.
Because he overachieves, has a number 11.
Well, you did two, to be fair. So
did I have 11?
You did. Calm your farm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you just chill the fuck out there, bro.
Well, I won't say anything then. All right. What is your bonus number 11, Matt?
Life is unfair. Deal with it. Now, you
say it with such force.
Deal with it. The thing is, like, life doesn't owe you shit. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes life is unfair. And sometimes life just fucking sucks. It doesn't owe you a damn thing. So how will you respond?
Mm.
Now, the point of me saying here, life is unfair, deal with it, is my way of saying control the controllables.
Yes.
Yes, there are things that will happen in life that are out of your control that are not good.
Mm.
That will really make you upset. Or test you, whatever it might be. And we can speak to this,
mm-hmm.
you know. But ultimately it comes down to what can I do that I'm in control of to handle a situation or to improve a situation?
Yeah.
Sometimes in life, as hard as it can be, you just got to be prepared to say, you know what, sometimes shit happens. And sometimes that shit is terrible and unfair and cruel. What can you do?
Well, I mean, yeah, and it's not saying, I guess what you're saying is you're not trying to say, like, just get over it
and
willy-nilly and it's fine, just move on. That's not what this is. This is saying it's going to happen. We can't stop unexpected bad things from happening in our lives, but it's no excuse to stop.
I think the idea of it being, you know, life's going to be hard, just get over it. No, that's...
No.
Silly.
It's ridiculous.
No. It's more like you can't avoid it.
Yeah.
It's coming for you. If you're around in life long enough, you're going to be dealt some shitty hands eventually.
Yep.
It's inevitable.
Yep.
Unfortunately, it's part of the life experience. You get the highs, you get the lows.
And when those things pop up, we then need to find a way to deal with it, to work with it, to move forward with it, whatever's happened. We need to find a way to, though.
Well, they're tests.
Yes.
Because the universe is going to ask you all along the way, how much do you really want this?
Yeah. Yeah.
How willing are you to be prepared to find a way to make things work?
Yeah.
How much resilience do you really have?
Yeah.
To do things that you don't want to do, even though you know you need to do them.
It'll test your resilience, absolutely.
So how much resilience do you have? How important is this to you? And how willing are you to be prepared to make it work, to be prepared to find a way? And I would also say, how willing are you to be resourceful? Because this is also part of the time management thing I mentioned earlier. Most people, they think they lack resources.
Yeah.
I don't have time. I don't have money. I don't have help. Support. Mm-hmm. I don't have. In the life of the vast majority of people that want to do this, that want to improve their health, get their confidence back, get more energy, etc., they actually have what they need already.
Yeah.
They haven't come to grips with the fact that they need to learn how to use what they've already got or how to acquire more resources and then learn how to be better with them.
Yeah.
But generally, people don't lack resources. They lack resourcefulness. How can you make do with the things that you've got, with the time that you have allocated to you each day, with the money that you've got? Because money's a resource. Mm-hmm. Time's a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Support, people, the people around you. Like, I'm not trying to dehumanize people, but people are a resource.
Yeah.
You know? So I guarantee for you listening or you watching, and I can say it for myself personally as well, no matter how hard a situation is that you're in, someone has found a way to make it work.
Yes.
In a similar situation. So why can't you? You know, and like, I'm not going to skirt around it. Like, when I talk about life is unfair, deal with it, and life can be sometimes a complete giant piece of shit, I just go back to our fertility journey. Like, it is the obvious elephant in the room for you and me.
Yes.
And it is sucked. It has not been fun.
No.
It is progressively, for me, just from my perspective, progressively gotten worse. Mm. And I would just like to say from a male perspective that a fertility journey does not just affect the woman.
No.
And I've had to learn for me, talking about control, the controller was, right? No matter how big, no matter how strong, no matter how smart or athletic or whatever I am, I can't control shit with that. No. I can't control a fucking thing.
No.
So I do the best that I can with the things that I've got. How can, you know, so what's in my control? Well, okay, how do I support my wife? How do I help the people that still need my help? How do I help myself? You know, with the understanding that, you know what, I don't necessarily think that what we've gone through is fair. I don't think it's fair at all. I think it sucks ass, obviously, but still, I don't think it's fair at all. But the unfortunate truth is that sometimes that's life.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make it easier, doesn't make it better. It
just is.
It is what it is. And you don't just get over things. You have to move on. Or not, no, you know, no, forget move on, move forward.
Move forward is the is
move
the phrase.
Forward. Yep.
Yes. When life gets hard, there's certain things that are gonna happen in life that you're never gonna move on from.
Yep, you move
but
forward.
But you move forward mm. with it and you find a way to make it work. And whether that is you carry it with you always, but you found a really healthy, useful way to use that.
Mm.
Or you can carry it with you and it doesn't impact your day, but you just carry it in your heart. Or, yeah, there's multiple ways that can happen and every circumstance is different. But I think the phrase is moving forward is the best phrase that we ever came across with what the grief that we've experienced
yes.
in the last few years. I think that was the phrase that really stuck with us the most, which is don't move on, move forward.
You can't move on.
Yeah.
In our personal situation, like, when you talk about like loss of a child, there's no moving on. There's no ever getting over it. It's just from this is purely my perspective here. Like, I'm not going to speak for you. Like, you carry it with you. You always carry it with you, but it's not going to be what, like, it's not going to sink my life. Doesn't put a hole in me that will never be filled. Yes. Will I ever get over it? No. Never, ever, ever, ever. It's impossible.
No. But I think that's, like, as you say, I think that comes down to how you deal with it and the resources that you have. And sometimes it's a matter of being vulnerable and asking for help.
Yes.
Working, how does it work within your new normal of life? You know, I think there's a lot of vulnerability involved when life doesn't go your way and life yeah. is unfair and things happen to then make sure that you're dealing with that in the healthiest way possible
mm.
where you're continuing to move forward in your life and you're finding a way to hold that, hold space for that, but also move forward. I think that's the main key that I've taken out of it.
What has helped me with a big thing that's helped me a lot with moving forward through our fertility journey is focusing back on myself and my own improvement where I can. Because, again, it comes back to control the controllables.
Yeah.
Because even though we've gone through a tremendously testing time, there have still been positives in life.
Yeah.
It's not all bad news.
No. Good things are still happening around us.
I personally like to approach things where if life is giving you some pretty dud hands, go and get some wins where you can.
Yeah, and I think that's where celebrating wins is also even more important because it can't always be bad news. Like, you have to be able to celebrate something good happening.
Yep, but with the understanding, though, that you life is going to smack you in the face.
Yeah, it's at different levels. You know, it's not always going to be to our level, and then there's also people out there that have gone through harder things than us. So there's always going to be different
levels. I'll tell you something, hard is hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my place to tell someone, oh, well, someone else has got it worse off than you. No, if it's hard for you and it's challenging and it's emotional, that is real.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what it is. If you find it hard and you are not comfortable with things and it's you know, affecting you,
that's enough.
End of story.
Yeah.
But just really keep in mind that it's more about how you respond to those things.
Yes. I agree.
If you tell me, that someone who wants to improve their health, get their confidence back, improve their energy levels, get a social life back, you know, get some self-esteem back, etc. If you tell me that that person is going to be able to keep moving forward despite life taking a shit on them from time to time, I will tell you they can't fail.
Yeah, I agree.
They cannot fail.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else you can learn, because you can teach someone how to exercise properly. Mm. You can teach someone how to get better in the kitchen and learn how to make better food for themselves. Resilience, you can't teach someone. You got to teach yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and if you are someone where you are prepared to find a way, no matter how unfair life can be, I'm telling you now, like, your success is a matter of when, not if.
I think you can get better at resilience. I think I have. I definitely think that I've got better at it over the years.
I completely agree.
Become stronger. I don't know the best way to describe it, but you know what I mean.
Hey, to me, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
This lifestyle, one thing I found very beneficial about this lifestyle is that you teach yourself that you can do hard things.
Mm.
Because learning, like pushing yourself in the gym, is hard.
Yeah.
On days when you don't want to go, it's even harder. Doing things that you don't necessarily like to do, even though you know they're a requirement to succeed at what you're doing, that is doing a hard thing. Being vulnerable is hard.
Yes.
Reaching out for help, saying I need help, saying I'm struggling is hard. I think with what we've gone through the last few years with our fertility journey, if this had happened 15, 20 years ago, I would have fallen flat on my face.
Yeah.
And everything would have fallen apart.
Yeah.
But I think from my perspective, because I have been pushing myself to do hard things for so long now, got me ready for this.
Yeah.
I still wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
No.
And I'm not going to say it's made it easier. Actually, you know what? It hasn't. It's not easier. It's just helped me be ready to deal with it.
I think the control the controllable saying is the best one for this because I honestly think as well in like the last couple of years, what we've been through, one of the benefits of having such a steady routine has been one thing I could then do and say, well, at least I'm doing good at that.
Mm.
Like, so everything else might be a shitstorm around me, but I can say I went to the gym.
Absolutely.
You know, three, four times this week. Or I ate good food this week. So it's just that little tick that because it's like such routine that maybe it's easy to overlook when you've been doing it for so long. But for me, the control the controllables, as you say, is that at least I could find something in my week or in my day that I could say I did good there.
I like, completely agree. Good. Something in your life could be happening that is completely terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think everything has to be terrible.
No. And you can be proud of other things that you're doing at the same time.
Well, I think to myself, like the things I've done while we've been going through, like even just through IVF, like I've been collecting the belts at martial arts and getting better and better and better at that.
Yeah.
Like it's funny how I used to be so afraid of turning 40. Like I'm 48 this year.
Yeah.
And I don't give a rat's ass.
Yeah.
Like I'm in great shape. I've got great athleticism. I've got my health. I've got you. I've got great friends. Like, I've got a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah.
You know, there's still been hard, challenging, testing times, but following this lifestyle and building into this lifestyle for so long gets you ready for it.
Yeah.
I think it might be even like a bonus 12th tip is prove to yourself that you can do hard things.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right, I think that's a wrap. That's long enough for us today. So I'm going to do the slow laptop close.
Excuse me, there's two of us here.
Oh, we're both doing it.
We're done, aren't we?
We are.
Laptop is closed, which signifies end of the episode. So I hope that has been
helpful.
I hope that can at least help someone.
Yes.
If not you listening, can get some sort of wisdom or benefit out of that.
Absolutely.
So let's get the hell out of here.
Let's get out of here. You can find us on Facebook. We are the Weight Loss Podcast. We have a Facebook group. Come and join us.
See the sign there that says the Weight Loss Podcast on the wall? That's us.
You can also email us. It's podcast@theweightlosspodcast.com.
Yep. So thanks for joining. I hope this is giving you some sort of insight or benefit. We're going to be back next week.
We are.
See you then.
Let's do
it. Are you ready to share your success? Head over to our website for full access to our show notes, resources based on today's topic, and links to our Facebook group so you can share your story with our hosts and many others out there who are looking to achieve and maintain their health and fitness goals. You can find all that and more exclusively at theweightlosspodcast.com.